And how about that performance? Welcome to the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson alongside Adam Kaplan. The Eagles go to Lambeau Field and dismantle the Packers for a 27-13 victory to get to 5-5 on the season. Adam, what is your instant reaction to the win?
Well, it's an interesting game. The way I react is this way. They were resilient in this game. It looked like they might have been having a little bit of a problem in the fourth quarter. But the defense held once again. The defense, they've done it like the last five games. Since that Denver game, they've just gotten the job done. When they needed someone on the team to make a play, someone does something on defense. It's the defense now that gets it done. But also, we should mention the running game got it back today.
Sean
McCoy
did.
Terrific today. And I'll tell you what, decisive. Very, very decisive. I liked it.
Very much so. In fact, the Eagles running off the last 9.5 minutes of the clock thanks to that stellar run game. And the third man in our crew, former Pro Bowl linebacker Ike Reese, is going to break down the All-22, showing why the Eagles' run game was effective today.
Well, Chris, Adam, take a look here. Shady McCoy was able to get back to being over the 100-yard performers per week, but it starts with these guys up front. I mean, that's where your running game starts, and what Chip Kelly and Pat Shurmur are doing offensively is they've added a new wrinkle to the running game. What you're going to see here is tight end Brent Celek lined up to this side. You're going to see extra tackle here, Alan Barbray, who's in filling in for Jason Peter on this side. They call this the tackle overplay. Then you're going to see where you got three offensive linemen here plus the center. We call this a G sweep, where you're going to get Todd Harris pulling along with Jason Kelce. Nice play action pass here. This play goes to the outside. They do a nice job of sealing this outside, and you see where Shady is able to take this for a big gain here on 3rd and 1.
Outstanding stuff there, Ike. So certainly big part was the run game there. Now let's look at Nick Foles and the performance by the quarterback. 3 touchdowns. Didn't have to throw a whole lot of passes, but Nick Foles getting the job done after what everyone was wondering to see how he would respond after that monster 7-touchdown performance last week in Oakland.
Yeah, I was just looking at the numbers for a little bit there, and it's interesting, you know, you look at what he's done as an away quarterback since the Eagles drafted him. It's remarkable. 21 combined touchdowns, now 3 turnovers. He had the fumble, which was very questionable. I mean, it was very, very close. He's been great. I mean, what else could you ask for? The poise that he shows. Here's something I picked up today watching. Before, he had some plays where guys got open, he threw it, he made him go get it. Today, he hung in the pocket. And the line did a great job today of giving him time to kind of survey the field, and he hung in there. You got to do that. Sometimes as a quarterback, it's not always going to go the way that you want, and he did a great job of that today. He hung in there, and he was able to get the ball downfield. How about Riley Cooper, my friend?
Woo!
5 touchdowns
about
on the
Riley
season?
Cooper.
Six. Jeez. Wow. Would have believed it.
2 more today, yeah. 2 more explosive things. And that's what you saw from the offense. Nick Foles obviously didn't have to throw a lot of passes, was very efficient, but had those big play opportunities. And the Eagles, once again, capitalizing. DeSean Jackson with a 55-yard strike to get the touchdown going for the Eagles. And then Riley Cooper, 2 touchdowns, 1 from 45 yards, the other from 32 yards out to provide the spark for the Eagles offense. Now you look at the defense. All week it was no Aaron Rodgers. We're preparing for Seneca Wallace, who was making his first start since the end of the 2011 season. And then on the first drive, he gets injured. And in comes Scott Tolzien, who was promoted from the practice squad earlier in the week, had never thrown a pass in an NFL game. And I'll be honest, he actually acquitted himself pretty well. But once Tolzien came into the game, the focus came on Eddie Lacy and taking away Packers' run game.
Yeah, we talked about in the pregame show that even with – Seneca Wallace behind center, the focus is going to be the running game because they've got to help the quarterback out. And then with Aaron Rodgers inactive, remember, they only dressed 2 quarterbacks for the game. So it was going to be, as they said in the broadcast, John Kuhn, the fullback, was the emergency quarterback. It was kind of ugly. Now, I agree with you. Scott Tolzien did a yeoman's job. He kind of hung in there, had a nice touchdown pass. He did the best that he could. The guy's never, as you said, thrown a pass in an NFL game. What can you do? But the Eagles, again, they hung in there. It wasn't the prettiest game, but the bottom line is they won the game. They're 5-5. The Cowboys have such a tough game tonight at New Orleans, where the Saints rarely lose. If the Cowboys lose tonight, the Eagles are back in first place, tied for first. So we'll see what happens.
Eagles could be coming home next week with a chance to get first place in division. Again, 5-5. The Eagles offense amassing over 400 yards for the 8th time in 10 games this season. Folks, That is already a franchise record. You talk about the Chip Kelly impact here in Philadelphia. You mentioned Scott Tolzien and the job that he did for the Packers offense. Hey, look, the defense was able to come through when they needed. They got a pair of turnovers. Brandon Boykin intercepting a pass intended for Jordy Nelson in the end zone. And then D'Amico Ryans with his second interception of the season. Another phenomenal performance for him.
Two Pro Bowlers here for this football team. D'Amico Ryans and Cedric Thornton. If they don't make it, because people actually aren't watching these players outside Philadelphia, there's simply no reason why both those guys shouldn't make it. I understand 3-4 D linemen don't get a lot of credit. Watch the tape, people. Cedric Thornton's having a breakout season. This is a great job of really scouting by the Eagles here. Now, secondary-wise, we talked about it at halftime. Lots of injuries now. Michael Kendricks, and we'll find out, obviously, very shortly, with those three injuries today, we'll see who's not going to be ready for next week.
Well, let's go through the injuries. Linebacker Michael Kendricks left the game early with a knee injury. He was replaced by Najee Good, who was utilized as a run blitzer on a lot of plays. Wolf, the rookie safety, also left the game with a knee injury. Patrick Chung came in for him. And then, as you talked about already, Adam, Jason Peters out for the game. Alan Barber came in for him at left tackle.
Good job, Chris. Very solid job.
Yes.
Alan Barber has been a great find for the Eagles, kind of like Evan Mathis.
Very much so.
One-year deal, veteran minimum, and you know, it's – you love it, the versatility. He could play either tackle spot, and he also could play guard if you need him to.
Packers also not getting any help in terms of their kicking game. Mason Crosby, always very reliable. He had two missed field goals today, so that's certainly helping the Eagles' cause. And then a very close fourth down conversion or near conversion for the Packers as Jordy Nelson appeared to have brought in the ball
hand. I really did.
You know, but it bobbled just a little bit, didn't have full control. If you go by the rule book, you have to have complete control before you're down on the ground. He didn't have so, and the Eagles were able to get out and finish off with a 27-13 win, grinding out the last 9.5 minutes. You talk about an offense. Look, the first half of this game, it was all Packers in terms of time of possession. If you look early in the game, it was over 20 minutes in the first half for the Packers, just a little over 9 minutes for the Eagles. You saw not many rushing attempts by the Eagles, not many pass attempts by Nick Foles, but that drive, when they needed to run out the clock, Chip Kelly and Pat Shurmur, they were able to dial up the right plays on offense to get the job done.
They did it a big way, and it's funny how Chip says, forget about play counts, forget about time and possession, it doesn't matter. He said it all year, it doesn't matter, so you got to give him credit. When they had to run the football well, they did. That's something that was very important. The defense did their job the best way that they could. The offense turns it over in the red zone, and they hold. I got to give this defense credit. What's that, 5 straight games of 21 points or less?
Yeah.
Less than 21 points.
All since a Denver game.
It's amazing. What a great job Billy Davis has done here. And he said, trust him. Well, he's right. We trusted him, and look how well he's doing.
Well, I thought he did a good job of making the Packers make plays down the field. Look, he's going to give up the underneath stuff, but the Eagles have done a much better job of tackling, limiting those gains to virtually nothing after the catch. So look, hey, you're going to have to play proficient football. You're going to have to move the ball down the field and then be able to get the points. And the Packers were just not able to do so on enough occasions.
Yeah, now I would tell you that Scott Tolzien was a little bit inaccurate. He threw a couple of passes behind. You saw one, Jordy Nelson was really bad in the fourth quarter, which probably would have been for a big play, but Tolzien hung in there, and their line gave us some pressures in the second half. And how about Vinnie Curry now? Leads the Eagles with 4 sacks on the season.
Is that amazing? So definitely that pass rush presence off the bench. You have Benny Logan starting again at nose tackle. He was able to create some pressure to help force some inaccurate passes. So overall, a good job by this defense, which was tested, especially the rotation up front early on because of Eddie Lacy, James Starks and that Packers run game and that rotation they're trying to bring in there. So it's not just the starters. It's not just Fletcher Cox, Thornton, and Logan. It's Damian Square, Clifton Gethers, Vinnie Curry, the guys coming in on that second wave who are also able to get the job done. So we're going to send it now to Lambeau Field. The victorious head coach, Chip Kelly, takes the podium. We're bringing it to you live here on the postgame show presented by Rico.
Good time.
Okay.
Are we good? Questions?
Chip, not as pretty of a performance as Nick Foles compared to Oakland, but
yeah, he did a really nice job. They put us in a lot of man coverage, and one of the things you got to do is be able to throw the ball over the top, and he did, and we took advantage of that. I thought how they finished the game on offense was really outstanding. You know, it's a good football team. Winning on the road is very difficult in this league, and we did it again, so we'll take it.
I see you had some wide receivers really step up and make plays. It looked like Nick had a couple underthrown balls there that they made plays on.
Yeah, I mean, they throw it, and we throw it in their hands. They should catch it. You know, I thought Jason had a real down by the, you know, for the touchdown there on a long post pass. So, you know, I think everybody contributed to this win offensively, defensively. Everybody put a lot of guys today. So,
5-1 on the road. Is there any explanation for that?
No, I mean, I don't have an explanation on that. You know, we're not good at home and we're good on the road. We better figure it out because we're coming home, but I don't have an answer for that one.
Nick, was the game was the plan to reestablish it to get him more
involved? No, we don't talk like that. So we're not, I don't care who's running the ball, whether it's Bryce, Shady, whoever. We're, you know, we're trying to be a balanced operation, and everything we do is we kind of, what are they doing to us and how are we going to react to what they do to us. And I thought our offensive front did a decent job blocking, you know, and there was some pretty good matchups there. So I thought Brent Celek was outstanding on the perimeter, really, really getting the corner for us, whether the ball was cutting back to him or we were trying to set the edge. So it was a good win, but we're not concerned with trying to establish individual players. It's a team deal. It's always, and it always will be a team deal.
Do you have an update on
I don't have an update on anybody. I came here just to see you guys really quick, so I didn't get a chance to talk to them.
What did you see on that last drive? Obviously, you're not trying to score. You're just trying to run the clock out there. You didn't throw it. Good defensive front, and you were able to run out the clock.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got to give credit, and that's what this league's all about. It's about executing, and I thought our offensive line and our backs and our quarterback executed. You know, Nick's keep at the end there was big to get another first down. I thought James Casey had a huge play for us. You know, obviously you're in a game where it comes down to it's a couple score game, you know, so even if we did turn the ball back over, you know, hopefully there's not enough time left on the clock where they can put together a couple plays. So, you know, I just thought it was everybody knew what was going to happen. Everybody knew we were running it. We had to do it. We kind of ran the clock out. I think we did the same thing down in Tampa Bay, you know, so it's something to be really, you know, we can build upon, but you got to have a 4-minute offense in this league to win. And we feel comfortable right now that we're getting better at that. So,
he's worked up some big first downs with his legs on third down. Why was he getting free there? They
were playing a lot of man coverage, and when you rush a quarterback, and you know it happened to us once. We were in man coverage, and Tolzien got out of there. So, you know, Nick's a little bit more athletic than I think some people give him credit for. And if you do play that, you got to make sure that you can contain him. You know, it's the type of player he is. He was real clutch, you know, keeping some of those drives alive with his legs. So,
how important do you think you guys in winning this game here? After Lacy had 17 yards on two carries, then pretty much clamped him down the rest of the way.
Yeah, we felt like it, going into the game, obviously with Aaron being out, that they were going to try to establish a run, and he, big son of a gun, and you know, he really runs downhill, physical runner. And I thought overall our run defense, besides those two runs, I thought they did a really good job all day long against him.
Guys, what did you think of Tolzien?
I thought he played really well. You know, for a guy that was on the practice squad and then they just signed and got him out there. I know people that have coached him. I know they talk about how smart he is, and you could see that. You know, he knew exactly where he was going with the ball, and I thought he did a really good job. I was really impressed with Scott.
Did you survive that challenge on
Nelson with the pass? Did you know that was coming? I mean, what's going through your mind? How nerve-wracking is that?
I mean, nothing's going through my mind. I got no control over it. So if they tell us we score, we've already gone over the scenarios and what we're going to do then. If they tell us we don't score, then what are we going to do? So, you know, we're not there making decisions. So we worry about what's the scenarios. What are we going to do if it's a score? Then what are we going to do offensively? If it's not a score, then what are we going to do offensively? So that's all we're talking about in the sideline. So
sorry, up in the press box, it seemed like there were a few calls that maybe you guys could challenge. There was a catch that Nelson made at the sideline, like his hand was out before. What were they seeing up there on that one?
I just didn't get any feedback that it was something we wanted to challenge at that time. So,
Chip, you lost three starters by the end of the first quarter, but you still managed to go forward with this game. What does it say about your character or depth or whatever?
Well, I think it speaks a lot about the depth, and you got to have it. You know, it's a tough, hard-nosed physical game, and everybody's got to be ready to play at any point in time. And when you only have 46 guys active on game day, you know, it's you got to go. You know, and that's what the deal's all about. But I thought those guys that stepped up and came in did a really nice job. You know, and it's part of what you got to do. You know, I think we've lost a quarterback, you know, in Mike, and I think Nick's done an unbelievable job of coming in, you know, but the same thing with them. They lost guys too. You know, they got a couple guys back today, but those guys have been out. But that's just kind of what this league's all about. You got to be able to handle those situations.
You speak to Barber especially. I mean, Jason Peters is a huge loss. Mm-hmm. How do you think that he played, and did you give him some extra help?
Did we give him any extra help? You mean like tutor sessions or?
No, I mean, Allen, we can run our offense when Allen's in there. You know, we got a lot of confidence in him. I think he can play both guard and tackle. He's been a real versatile player for us. We knew at some point in time that we're going to have to use him during the season, and really happy with how he stepped up. But we didn't do anything specifically to help Allen in any situations there.
What did you think about it? Been, overturned, they scored it. Would you have done it differently in the last 10 minutes of the game?
No, I think when it's a one-score game, I think you got to try to go down and try to maybe score in those situations. But, we had talked about both scenarios, so.
Chip, you were talking about the importance of having your quarterback healthy and then stability there with your offense. You've had that two straight weeks. You win two straight road games, back to 500. I feel like you're building on something these last two games here.
Yeah, but every day is a new challenge. So we'll come back on Tuesday and see who's available for practice and get ready for the Redskins. So, that's what this deal is all about. Who can weather all of it? Maybe we got some stability at the quarterback spot, but then all of a sudden we're short on the offensive line. You never know. And then, where are we in the secondary? I know Earl went down, and I don't have any specifics on him. So it's every position, and you got to make sure. I think we've got some guys that we feel like we can count on, but. You never really know until you throw them in there. And I think what you saw a little bit today is there's some guys we can count on. But, the next question when you come back on Tuesday is what if they go down? Where are we from that standpoint? So we'll see as we get going here. But yeah, I thought Rock did a really nice job. And again, it's the same thing. Fletch was out, I thought Fletch had played a really high level so far. And then to throw Rock in there, we've been really impressed with him. He's come along as this season. We were really excited that we got a chance to get him, right before the season started. And every week he started to see him coming in practice. Then all of a sudden he's really making plays on special teams. But to go out there with his first start and in the play, I thought he did a really nice job. They challenged him a few times, but he had a couple breakups there, and really happy with Rock. So.
As the sample size increases here,
you lost me on the sample size because I was trying to figure out where you went. You mean how many games we played, or?
Yeah.
I think Nick does a great job protecting the football. He hasn't thrown an interception. He doesn't really make egregious mistakes out there. If he misses, he's off. And he may not be as accurate on a throw, but that's what you're missing. It's not, hey, we had a guy wide open and he was supposed to look right, but he was looking left. I think he's got a good grasp and command of what we're doing and feel real comfortable right now.
Can you talk a little about Cooper's second touchdown? It looked like a play action. Why that call in that situation where you're kind of setting it up with the run there?
No, you got to obviously have play actions. You get complimentary plays that look like other plays, but there's some it's deception in there. If we can get the safeties to suck up a little bit, and when you're running the ball like we were running the ball, now all of a sudden you can get the safeties are being a factor in stopping the run game a little bit. You got to be able to throw the ball over the top. So we got some guys we believe in, Deshaun and Coop, they can go over the top. And again, Nick made a nice read. I think Deshaun was open on the same play. It was kind of a high-low deal, but he took Coop, and we scored on it. So.
Was wind a factor for both teams today?
Yeah, a little bit. It was windy down there on the field. I think from a field goal standpoint, it was, going one way. And then it seemed like it switched at halftime, But, everybody plays with the same amount of wind. So.
Did you expect to have Fletcher today, and, how was he close to playing?
I thought he was close, but, we just go with whatever they tell us. He felt good. We're happy that we get out of it with a victory, and hopefully the extra week we'll get a chance to get Fletch back next week.
What was the experience like coaching Atlanta?
Yeah, special place. I think it's just one of the iconic places in the league, or even in football when you talk about a game in Lambeau Field. I thought the fans were really, really good. Most of the time when we come in on a bus, we don't have people clapping for us, but I think it says something to the fans around here in Green Bay. They're just big fans of the game, and there's so much history. That was the same field that Vince Lombardi coached on, and I think it was pretty neat, and it's a lot neater when you win. So.
Okay.
Thanks.
And McCoy will be in this room at some point. Coach Davis is in the locker room right now.
All right, there's the victorious Chip Kelly addressing the media following the Eagles' 27-13 win over the Green Bay Packers. Now, Adam, you have to have the four-minute offense in your game plan to try around the clock, but where do you have a 9.5-minute offense come from?
Well, first of all, you have it when you run the football well, and LeSean McCoy, here was the difference between LeSean McCoy of other games and this one. He hit the holes that were there. That was big. And I thought early in the game you saw it, a little bit more downhill with a running game. You saw a little bit out of the eye. Not specifically with a fullback because they don't use one, but he was lined up in the middle instead of lined up offset, and you saw that. You saw the odd how they had the line shifted a little bit. They every week you're seeing something different on offense. It's the same offense, but you're seeing little wrinkles each week, and I like that. That's something we were kind of talking about that might happen, and it happened there. So Boy, they've got it going on right now. I think both sides of the football now, this is the first game for a long time where both sides really got it done. You got to feel pretty good about that. I'm pretty impressed. This is something we preached for several weeks. Get both sides playing well at the same time, and they do that today.
All right, we're going to send it over now back to the Telstra. Ike Reese's Jones for more analysis. He's going to bring you more of the All-22 of why the Eagles were victorious today.
I am Jones and fellas. Enough of this offensive talk. Let's get into some defense. Here we're going to see the Eagles defense lined up against the Packers in what we call a power wing team formation. And what I want you to pay close attention to is you got rookie Benny Logan right there. You got Cedric Thornton here. And this guy here, my man Connor Barwin, is the outside linebacker. Now, what Connor's going to do on this play, his job is to set an edge, keep everything inside. Now, what Billy Davis and his defensive coaches are doing, they're starting to run a little more games up here up front. What I mean by that is stunts. We got an NT stunt where the nose tackle comes there, Cedric Thornton comes inside, and all this is to create penetration. Penetration disrupts offensive running plays, and the Eagles want to get used to playing on this side of the line of scrimmage. As you let the play run, you're going to see penetration from the Eagles defensive front up here, and then you're going to see Connor Barwin here on the outside set this edge, which is crucial. It doesn't allow James Starks anywhere to go. You get 11 hats to the football. This is how you stop a running game. Game tackling by the Eagles, 11 defensive players. That's a great formula for success in this league.
Great stuff there from Ike. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, Adam is going to evaluate how Nick Foles performed. Three more touchdowns, over 400 yards of offense. Adam is going to explain why Nick was so successful today. All that and more coming up here on the Postgame Show presented by Rico.
Here you go.
Spicy.
You mean her?
No, it's the spicy smoked sausage sandwich. See?
It better be.
Grab the new spicy smoked sausage breakfast sandwich. It's the smoked sausage you crave, now spicy. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 mega millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Today is the first time in a long time we go surfing while well rested. Time for some 6 a.m. Dunkin' coffee. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Dunkin' coffee, brewed to perfection for the rich, smooth taste you love. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's delve into the numbers for Nick Foles as he came back after that stellar performance against the Oakland Raiders. 3 touchdowns, and look at the passer rating, a 149.3 passer rating. Adam, why was he so successful today? Even though he didn't have the prolific numbers like he did a week ago, still efficient in getting the job done.
It was close. Well, everything happened so fast. I was going through my reads, and I got hit, and when I was going down, I thought I had it on my thigh right when I hit, and I thought when I hit, it sort of just got lodged. But, you know, I trust the officials to make the right call, and that's what they did, so I respect their call.
How big was that to see that the game could have turned on that? You know,
that's why we play this game, though. You got to realize there's going to be things that happen in a game that, you know, aren't good. It's not always going to be perfect, and we were playing a pretty good game, staying away from turnover and stuff, and that happened, and it's not a good situation, but then it just shows you how much this team's come along where our defense comes out there and stops them. And we get the ball back, and our O-line does a great job. I think we threw one pass and ran the ball, what, eight times, something like that? We run 8 minutes off the clock, and it was hats off to, you know, that's a good team out there. And we were able to run the ball and, you know, take the clock away after our defense had a huge stop. So I feel like our team grew throughout that whole thing, and thankful for the defense for stepping up right there.
How big was it for you to follow 7 touchdowns with another efficient, just get that consistency going?
I mean, it feels good. It feels good to get the win. It was another great team win, and we just have to keep moving. But I felt good out there. Felt like the guys were doing a great job. Receivers made some big plays, you know, helped me out, and it was a good win.
Riley has really blossomed these last 5 weeks. I mean, he's been right up there with Deshaun numbers-wise. What have you seen from him as far as growth as a player?
He's just, you know, he's showing you what he's always been, and I believe in Riley, and I think, you know, he's getting an opportunity. You know, it's just so happening that when I'm reading out plays that, you know, he's getting open and different things like that. He's making plays. He's a big physical receiver. And like I've always said, I love the fact that he's a receiver that does a great job blocking. And he's a great team player. And, you know, he's blossoming. He's doing a good job.
How do you explain your road record versus your home record?
How do I explain it? Hey, that's something we got to work on. You know, we have a big game coming up. We're going to enjoy this game for 24 hours and move forward. I know we have the Redskins coming up at home at the Link. And I hope the crowd's ready to go. We're pumped. And, you know, we got to get a win for everybody. And I hope they're loud and, you know, cheering us on and ready to go because we're going to need them to, you know, keep us going.
In terms of ball placement, was the idea just to put the ball up and get the receiver to make plays, or did
you put it on your first? No, the only one that sort of got thrown was the Deshaun, where it sort of, you know, bobbled up. And, you know, sometimes it happens, and I was thankful it turned out for us. The one to Riley, the safety was sort of in between. I could have thrown two different routes, and I wanted to go with the deeper one. And so I threw it almost like, you know, Riley has a baseball background, so almost like an outfielder, I threw him a little wide to let him go around him and go make the play, which you typically don't throw that route like that, but I know Riley, and I know he's, you know, he's able to make plays like that, so I threw it to where he made a tremendous play, and it worked.
You guys have a pretty good connection. How do you explain it? I mean, it seems like you're really the proverbial same page, you and Riley.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I have a connection with all my receivers. I understand how they run routes. I understand, you know, their strengths, and I'm very fortunate to be in a situation where we have talent everywhere. And the most important thing is to get them a ball in an area so they can make plays, and they're doing that.
Nick, sorry to even ask this, but on the touchdown pass to Cooper, the first one, did you try and throw it short for him to go get?
I tried to throw it around the safety. So if you throw it downfield, the safety can turn and go up and get it. But I threw it to where Riley went around the safety because, I don't know, I just, for some reason, that's how I felt like throwing it right there, and
so
it worked out.
You threw it basically where you wanted to.
Okay. Yeah. I probably want to throw it a little further out there. It sort of was a little shorter, but I want to throw it where I threw it where I wanted to.
Is it different throwing in the cold weather?
It is. It's definitely different throwing in the cold weather. And I know up high the wind was swirling a little bit. I could tell it was catching. You got to really cut it. It was catching it. But, you know, that's something that I got to continue to improve on. I'm a southern boy and, you know, played at Arizona, so I got to keep working on that.
Did you feel like you fumbled that?
It was close. When I hit the ground, I thought when I hit the ground, I had it trapped in my thigh. And I thought right when I hit it, it came out. But they were able to look at it in slow-mo and do all that. So I trust the refs to make the right call, and, I respect their call.
How big was it to get Shady going really through the whole game, but especially on that last drive?
Oh, huge. I think, you know, the O-line did a great job, especially on the last drive. But they did a great job all night. And just to get him running the ball, he did a great job in open field, great job with small windows. And we have to continue to do that, and that will open up everything we do.
Now, two times you spoke to us this week, you spoke about consistency. Do you think now that you have these back-to-back games, you're showing that consistency?
No, I got to continue to improve. There's a lot of things I need to improve on, and I'm never going to, you know, that's something that I always strive for is consistency. You know, there's going to be adversity I'm going to face coming up in any game. You know, the fumble of this game, defense did a great job, and that's going to happen throughout the game. So I don't ever look at it as, you know, consistency. I just try to get better. And consistency will come when, you know, you work to get better at everything.
Like, Nick, do you think this is going to be a week-to-week thing where you don't know if he doesn't know who's going to be starting at quarterback?
You know, I'm not worried about that. You know, that's a question for Chip. And I whatever the situation is, I respect it, and I'm going to work hard. And I love this team here. I love, you know, the city of Philly. Love playing for this organization. So whatever they ask me, I'm ready to go do. And you know, I love these guys here, and I respect Chip, like y'all know. And whatever the situation is, I'm going to be there to support whoever's playing.
So what do you think of the resume so far?
You know, it's good, but I need to improve. There's a lot of stuff I want to improve on. And, you know, we have two wins now, back-to-back, that we need to continue to build on. We haven't done a great job of winning at home, so I know that's our, you know, next big thing. So it's going to be a big game for us, and we're excited for it. I know I'm excited to be back in the league to play at home. So we got to continue to work hard and, you know, improve.
You still haven't thrown an interception this year. Why is that?
The guys are making plays. You know, there's a couple times a day where, you know, it was like the one of Deshaun that ended up being a touchdown. That, you know, I didn't throw a very good ball on that one and ended up making a play. You know, it's just going with, I don't know, it's being smart, going through the reads, not trying to force it. You know, there's going to be a time where there's going to be tight windows and I have to force it in there during situations. But, you know, I just got to continue to look at the film, ways I can improve, footwork, rhythm, you know, different kind of throws. So I couldn't tell you one thing or another. I just know that I need to continue to improve. No, I just, you know, it was I believe in the good Lord, and that's it. You know, that it bounced that way, and we have to continue playing no matter what. You can't worry about it bouncing the other way and giving them some or something like that. So I'm glad it worked out that way, and I'm very thankful it did.
All right, Nick Foles, very stoic after the win, 27-13 over the Green Bay Packers. The numbers, 12 of 18 for 228 yards, a 149 passer rating, and for the season, 16 touchdown passes, zero interceptions. And we have one stat correction to make already. Riley Cooper has 7 touchdowns on the season. Not 6, 7 touchdowns after 2 more. Oh, LeSean McCoy going to the podium at Lambeau Field. Send it back to Green Bay.
All right, who's first?
How big is it for you guys to just back-to-back wins, and how do you explain your good road record and your bad home record?
Well, that's pretty hard to explain. Why we do so well on the road and at home, we're not as good. I think this next week upcoming, against the Skins, where we have to win. I think it's a division game where it's very important. I think it changes things a little bit. And I think for that week, we got to be the better team. I think a lot of people get carried away with, the offense is doing well, or they're not playing like they should, or, you know, up and down weeks where I think just if we're just a better team that week, that's all that matters.
Going into this game, did you expect that type of workload?
Yeah, I felt so. I felt that I would get the ball enough. Last week, there was no need to run the ball so much because we were throwing and firing so much and making so many different plays, and we were so successful in the air. You know, Nick is just is playing out of this world right now. I think this as a whole, as a team, the defense is playing lights out. You know, as an offense, I think a lot of people kind of forgot how good we really are, how effective we are. You know, for the first 6 weeks, we were very explosive and putting tons of stats up and breaking records. So we're just getting back to the basics, running the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, I think at this point, you know, defense, when they come here and they're scouting us and preparing for us, it's what do you want to do? Do you want to stop the run, which team's been doing for the past couple of weeks, trying to shut us down running the ball-wise, and we're making plays in there. So it's a matter of just picking your poison.
After Nick's game last week, did you see the defense play differently?
A little bit. They were guessing more. I felt they were guessing more. There were still the majority of the time, there were definitely more guys in the box, like usual. But, I mean, I thought it was a guessing game, which we haven't been seeing lately. You know, it's been more trying to stop the run and stop the different reads we have. So it felt good, really as an offense together. Late in the game where we needed to drive the ball to ice the game out, we did that. We needed to make a play, answer back, we did that. So just all around, we just played good ball today.
Did they seem worn down on that final drive?
You know what? They actually did a great job of rotating. We weren't going as fast like usual, so they were doing a good job of substituting. We were running the clock out, so they had a chance to sub in and out. So they weren't too tired.
You lost Jason.
But for the whole game, they were tired.
You lost Jason early with Sean.
Well, Al came in, and Al, he plays well. Just today, I think the offensive line actually controlled the line of scrimmage. I think with the backs that we have here, in a humbling way, you give us a one-on-one opportunity with a linebacker, DN, or safety, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're going to make a miss. And today, that's what happened. And guys got on the blocks. Just control the line of scrimmage. You know, I think it's one thing for a back to be confident to run the ball, but it's another when the guys up front when they run the ball even more than you do. So you know, it says a lot about them up front, the way they played today. And also Nick making so many different plays. you know, you put a defense in a bind. Like, bind. What do you want to do? And I mean, today we're just on all cylinders making plays.
And now your yards per carry, there's a clear difference today in the past 3 games. Were you running any differently than you did in terms of the...
No, I think today I just had more lanes and a lot more one-on-one opportunities. I was to the second level so fast today. And I was just hitting it. I think the guys up front just, you know, got it done in a big way. And it was very obvious today. And we had so many different one-on-one battles. And it felt good to see that again. So, and it worked out. I mean, it's hard to really answer that question. I think we have the same preparation each week, no matter if it's home or away. It's got to find a way to get over this hump. And until we do, I'll be getting the same questions. So hopefully we can kind of take care of that this week and get a win at home. I have probably. Go ahead.
To close out the game, like the last 9 minutes, you know, just controlling the clock and everything, what's that feeling like?
Just dominating. It's a good feeling because the defense knows we're going to run the ball. We're not going to throw it. You know, and you can stack the box, we're going to run it. So just the attitude, the guys up front to play with today, and especially them late drives to kind of ice the game out.
Does it feel good for you guys when you're going that slow, when you're so used to going so fast?
You know what? It's actually cooler because you would think a long drive like that would get tired, and you don't because you're so used to going so fast that when you actually slow down, it's like a huddle. And we haven't huddled since probably last year. So to get a chance to really huddle up and run the ball and call the plays is just a totally different feeling. Just confidence. I mean, his confidence level is sky high right now. Just the way he's playing. If I had to define it, I would say he's playing with tons of swag. And he's a leader. The blessed thing about this team is we have two starting quarterbacks, Mike Vick and Nick Foles. You know, so when he came in, we didn't look at Nick as a backup. We look at him as a starter. And he's been playing like that. He's controlling the offense. He's making the right calls, the right reads. And he's playing with an attitude. Attitude where we must, you know, go down and score. And he's playing lights out.
Okay.
Yep.
There's LeSean McCoy following his outstanding performance, helping the Eagles drive down the clock. They found 9.5 minutes. And what's remarkable is up until that point, they only had the ball for about 16 minutes. So to be able to go out there without much of a rhythm and to be able to ice the game the way that they did was certainly impressive. McCoy talked about the performance of Nick Foles. Again, 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions, 16 touchdown passes against no interceptions for the entire season. He did have the 1 fumble late in the game, but outside of that, once again, very efficient, doing a good job taking care of the football. Adam, what's your take on his performance?
Yeah, I loved it today because there was a lot of downhill runs, and also what I liked is he hit the hole today. There's no dancing. And he, you know, you saw him that run there. He got to the second level and hit it, and that's what they want because holes are there. The line really played well today. This is the second straight game where I thought the Eagles' offensive line dominated, and that's a great thing. And remember, Jason Peters got hurt. And Alan Barber, what a signing. I mean, who is this guy? I mean, former Packer, former Seahawk, and he did a great job today. Another really under-the-radar signing for the Eagles.
Sure. Well, he was a guy who had the suspension in Seattle last year, was cut at the end of the suspension, out of football for the rest of the season, picked up after the season ended January, February time, the time where you have usually future contract signings and guys who are trying to find their way into a roster, not thinking he's going to make an impact. And all of a sudden, because of the injuries to Dennis Kelly, because of Jason Peters coming back from the Achilles, he's a guy who's rotating in a number of positions, both guard and tackle, and now he's out there thrown in against at the left tackle spot, say, against the Packers, who got Clay Matthews back, and Barber obviously doing a very, very good job. I just want to touch, before you have to go, Adam, on Nick Foles again. 3 touchdown passes for him. Again, everyone's waiting to see how would he come back on the road. You know, it was against the Packers. Obviously, they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. It was Seneca Wallace instead. But still, a chance to get the Eagles back to .500 after those 2 straight losses followed by the win in Oakland. How did you think he responded overall to that?
I thought he was very efficient. He handled the pressure in a big game. There's no question. Playing at Lambeau Field for the first time, he handled everything very, very well. And kudos to the offensive line that protected very well for the second straight week. Lane Johnson just continues to get better. We mentioned Alan Barber filling in for the injured Jason Peters. Evan Mathis is another one who should be a Pro Bowler. Just a, another great signing, a guy that, you know, no one knew much about, a kind of a journeyman type, and has been a really one of the best signings Eagles have had in free agency for many years. He's just done a great job and very durable. And Jason Kelce continues to get better. And also finally here to help Nick Foles out, the running game. Nick Foles now 21 combined touchdowns on the road since he was drafted last year. Three turnovers, just amazing. What else can you say about him? Very efficient, not turning it over, taking what's there and doing a great job.
All right, I do have to bring it up. Eagles are 5-5. They're returning to Lincoln Financial Field to take on the Washington Redskins, who looked dismal in their loss Thursday night to the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, everyone's going to be talking about the 10-game home losing streak that dated back since September. Since their last win was September 30th of 2012. So how do you preview this game with the Redskins struggling? They don't seem to have that magic, but RG3 is starting to evolve back into that rookie year form with a chance to go over 500 and possibly, depending on tonight's outcome between the Cowboys and the Saints, a chance for first place in the division again.
No question. And when you look at RG3, especially lately, he's feeling a little bit better about himself. The week one against the Eagles, terrible first half, much better in the second half. But I think what's happening now, he's trusting that bad knee, the latest one to get surgically repaired. I think, and also, the other thing is that helps him. Man, they run the ball really well with Alfred Morris and, of course, Roy Helu. Pierre Garçon's had a great year. And they have this tight end from the University of Florida, Jordan Reed, who's been tremendous, having a breakout season as a rookie. They could score, but you know the way the Eagles play defense, they could hold anyone. That's five straight games of under 21 points, so they're doing a great job there. Defensively, where the Redskins have been a disappointment, Jim Hazlitt last year got a turnaround in that stretch that got him into the playoffs, but they've not shown any ability to get off the field on third downs, to get the sacks and turnovers. So you got to feel good about Nick Foles next week against the Redskins.
All right, and we know you have to go. Where can fans hear you if they're driving home from watching the game at a friend's house or the local sports bar?
Yeah, Kevin Riley and I, we host the fifth quarter in WIP. We're on, should be around 6 o'clock Eastern, and we'll take your calls. Clearly, after the game, fans love to talk about what they thought, and we'll take your calls after this show's over, of course. Check us out on the Eagles Radio Network, and I'll tell you what, lot to break down, and I'll tell you what, going into that Washington game, you've got to feel good about the direction of this football team. The biggest issue now is those three injuries. Remember, those players did not return.
Certainly. So we want to delve into your phone calls here, and we're going to bring back the Pro Bowler himself, Ike Reese, number 58. He'll be taking over M's spot after this commercial break, but we want your phone calls, 215-320-5170. We're breaking down the Eagles' 27-13 win over the Green Bay Packers here on the postgame show presented by Rico. I'm Chris McPherson. We're saying farewell to Adam Kaplan. Ike Reese will be in the hot seat next, and we'll be taking your phone calls. So make sure you stay tuned for more right after this break.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are. On the road, and we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
All the way.
Welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Chris McPherson along with the Pro Bowler himself, Ike. I wanted some more All-22, man. When you get a win like that, you just want to break it down bit by bit by bit. But Ike, the first thing I want to ask you before we get into our phone calls, and if you want to join the show, 215-320-5170. Coming to this game, you knew that Eddie Lacy was going to be the focal point of this rushing attack.
Yeah.
As a former linebacker, is this one of those games where you just buckle up that chin strap and you know that you're going to battle?
Yeah, I mean, really, as a defensive player, it's what you really want. I mean, you love when teams are going to run the football right at you. There's no trickery involved in this. And today, you know, even with Seneca Wallace going out after the first series, you knew that Eddie Lacy and James Starks would have to be the bell carriers for this Packer offense. And I got to give the Eagles front seven a lot of credit. They did a great job gang tackling, getting to the football, wrapping up. I mean, D'Amico Ryans. I mean, Adam talked about this earlier in the show. If this guy is not in the Pro Bowl this year, that is a great injustice. I don't know if there's been a better middle linebacker playing as solid as this guy has played over the last month.
How many times do you see a linebacker get a couple of interceptions in a seat, especially from the Mike linebacker spot? I understand you had some interceptions back in the day. You usually see it from the outside guys because you have the chance to cover tight end down the field. You rarely see it, though, from the middle linebacker spot.
Yeah,
though.
And really, D'Amico was known for being a playmaker back in his days in Houston. He was a lot younger. You get a little older. You don't expect the middle linebacker to be around the football when it's in the air as much. But this speaks to the intelligence of D'Amico Ryans in there as the middle linebacker. You know, guys, it doesn't just happen by happenstance that he found himself around the football. He's always in the area where the ball is at, and that's the mark of an intelligent football player. And guys like that last a long time in this league, and we're lucky to have D'Amico Ryans here as our middle linebacker and the captain of this defense.
All right, Ike, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to bring in my man C. Lee from VA calling in to celebrate the win here on the postgame show presented by Rico. What's going on, C. Lee?
What's up, C-Mac? What's up, Ike? How you guys doing, my dudes?
How you doing, C. Lee?
Outstanding, C. Lee.
Hey, fired up, man. Fired up. You know, it was a good performance on a lot of guys. I think all three facets of the offense, defense, and special teams definitely hit tonight or today.
No, definitely. That's a big thing is to have the entire team coming together. And we saw it last week where the defense seemed to have been carrying this team for weeks and weeks. But the defense, or the offense, I should say, struggled in those losses to the Cowboys and the Giants. Last week it finally came together where you had the offense and defense and special teams all on the same page. And you had it here once again today where the defense, hey, they did its job knowing that they were going to have to shut down the Packers team without Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and then without Seneca Wallace at quarterback, and the offense making enough big plays to get this team to win, Ike.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it starts at the top. You got to give a guy like Chip Kelly a lot of credit for being able to galvanize this locker room and keep everyone together. We've all been around here the last couple of years, and we've seen what has happened to this team internally when they face adversity, when they lose a few games. You get to pointing fingers and things of that nature. And they lost to the Giants and the Cowboys at home, but it didn't crush this team. It really brought them closer together. Michael Vick went down again. Nick Foles was injured in that two-game stretch. And this team just seemed to get closer. They seemed to play better. And that's the mark of a coach and the players believing in the coach. And he's been able to keep this locker room together. And they still have a lot of good football left to play in this season.
Now, Ike, what's the mindset of a defensive player when you know that star player, that one guy you game plan for, and in this case it would have been Aaron Rodgers, is out, and so early in the week, you know all week that he's not playing. How tough is it mentally to not say to yourself, hey, we can ease up a little bit this week. It's going to be a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, basically. How tough is it for the defensive guys?
It's very tough. And when you don't have guys that are used to success and things of that nature, this is a unit, remember, this unit was just brought together this year. So they don't have a lot of experience playing with one another. And that's where you got to get guys like Connor Barwin, D'Amico Ryans, Kerry Williams. These guys, you heard them talk all throughout the week about it didn't matter who was going to start at quarterback. They were going to prepare as if Aaron Rodgers, even though they knew he was going to be out, but they were going to prepare the same. And that's really where it starts at, the preparation throughout the week. If you don't cut corners there and you make sure you dot every I and cross every T when you're preparing for the backup quarterback, you're going to go out and have performances like they did today.
Now, we heard about D'Amico Ryans and his great performance. Now, the man who started alongside him, Michael Kendricks, went out early in the game with a knee injury. Earl Wolfe goes down with a knee injury. What happens if those guys are going to be out for an extended amount of time? What kind of impact will that have on the defense.
Oh, you're talking about a huge impact here. You know, Michael Kendricks, he's not too far behind D'Amico Ryans as far as having production from that linebacker position. And then Earl Wolfe finally looked like the game was starting to slow down for him, as it typically does for rookies when they get to this point in the season. And he was playing very good football. But Patrick Chung is a veteran that's, you know, he's a former starter in this league. He shouldn't have a problem stepping in there if he has to. And Emmanuel Acho and the other linebackers that are going to have to fill in if Michael Kendricks is not able to go next week. We don't necessarily know that for sure. That can be a little tougher. But you're talking about two guys in Wolf and Kendricks, two young players that were starting to come on. They were starting to make hay out there on the field. And this is if they're out for any length of time, this could be a critical blow to this defense.
What has been the biggest improvement for this defense with Bill Davis in here? Adam brought the stat that they haven't allowed more than 21 points since that loss in Denver where they gave up 52. What has been the biggest change in the defense to make it so good at keeping points off the scoreboard?
Tackling. I think the biggest thing is tackling and not giving up big plays. You know, the one thing this defense was known for in the wide 9-4-3 the last two seasons is that the amount of 20-plus yard plays they were giving up. It seemed like it could be 3rd and 40 and teams would still convert. Now, we're still struggling a little bit on third down, but we just aren't giving up big plays like we had the last couple of years. And a lot of it is due to the players understanding the concepts of the defense, the schemes, trusting one another, not doing too much, allowing the other guys to do their job while at the same time focusing on your individual job. And again, I go back to the tackling. When you get 8 to 9 guys around the football, the ball carrier every time, that's going to limit your big plays. And that's probably the thing that stands off the screen the most to me about this defense this year, is that you don't see one guy trying to make the tackle and then, you know, guys just trailing behind, not giving maximum effort. These guys are really busting their gut to try to get to the football and gang tackle. And that's the mark of a good defense. It takes more than one guy. You need as many hats to the football as possible.
Where does that mindset come from? Because each and every week for the last couple of years, you keep hearing they're going to improve the tackling. They're going to do the circuit. Yeah. They're going to do the drills. Well, we're finally seeing it come to fruition. So what is it that happens?
It's pride.
In the locker?
It's pride in your own work. It's taking pride in your work and understanding, hey, everything on the outside, we aren't as bad as people are saying that we are. We aren't going to be the weak link of this team. That's all we talked about coming into the season, is how is this defense going to stop anybody? We're going to give up 30 points a game. The offense is going to need to score 35 every game in order to win games. Whereas defensive players, they have pride. You know, they may not admit to reading the paper or looking at the news, but they hear those things being said about them. And I give them a lot of credit, including Billy Davis. They accepted the challenge, stepped up to the plate, and Billy, he asked everybody to trust him after that Denver Bronco game. He could tell on film that he was seeing his guys getting better and better each week, understanding what he wanted from them out of this defensive scheme. And I give his players a lot of credit. They trust him, and they continue to get better each week. And it's a joy to watch this type of defensive football being played. Hadn't seen it in a while, Chris.
Certainly.
I know I'm enjoying it. I know you like the offense, but I like the defense.
I want the win, whatever it takes. If the defense has stepped up one week and make it happen, that's fine. If the offense, you got to love the big plays. Yep. Nick Foles, 3 touchdown passes, and all of them 30 yards or more. So you certainly got to love the electrifying nature of that. We're going back to the phone lines, and if you want to jump on board, 215-320-5170 is the telephone number. Glenn from South Florida joins us here on the postgame show presented by Rico. What's going on, Glenn?
Hey, what's up, Chris? And how are you guys feeling?
Absolutely.
How you doing,
outstanding.
Glenn?
Come on now.
I'm starting to have a good time watching the Eagles every week, and I'll tell you something. You know, you talk about them rounding into form. I didn't care if they made the playoffs this year or not, because I didn't think they could advance. But they sure are getting hot at the right time. And, you know, if they get in, you know, they be as good as anybody else by that time, the way they're improving every week.
No question about it. All you have to do is play your best football at the end of the season. And there's still over a quarter of the season left to be played. The Eagles haven't even had their bye week yet. But it's encouraging to see a young team in its first year with a head coach grow and develop and enjoy that little taste of success. And you certainly would know this going back from Andy Reid's first season here. How important is that when you're trying to set the culture in a locker room that you give the guys a little bit of taste of success so they can have actual concrete evidence that the program is working?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, nothing reinforces, you know, positivity than getting production out there on the field. And what you're seeing this year, these players are buying in to Chip Kelly's program. And that's a good thing. I mean, I know what it was like the first year under Andy Reid. We didn't win our first game, I believe, until the fifth or sixth week of the season, and we didn't start playing our best football until the last 4 weeks of the season, and it gave us something to build off of in the offseason. These guys are way ahead of the curve. I mean, they look like a legitimate playoff team. I mean, I notice we call this the NFC least, but somebody has to win it, and I'll tell you, I like our chances here in Philadelphia as much as I do in any other city in the NFC East. They're playing good football. They're getting great play from the quarterback position, the offensive players, the ball is being spread around, and the defense. I have to repeat this. The defense is starting to round into form. I mean, only 13 points today, one touchdown given up on a little bit of a busted coverage there, but they did their job today as well.
Certainly that's the case. And what I like about Chip Kelly and the job he's doing is he's getting the most out of his elite players. You see LeSean McCoy, 155 yards on the ground. But one guy I want to ask you about in particular, DeSean Jackson, a 55-yard touchdown that was very reminiscent. I don't remember if you recall this, the 2008 NFC Championship game where they lost to Arizona. He was against Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. The ball got bobbled in the air. He took it in for a touchdown in his rookie season. A very similar touchdown today. What have you seen from DeSean Jackson, who has been a much different player, it seems like, this season as compared to what we've seen the last few years?
I see a much focused player. I mean, that's what I see. I see a guy, and I talked to D-Jack this offseason, as I do with a lot of these guys around here, and D-Jack talked about getting back to being that Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber player. He's heard, you know, the discussion about, you know, him maybe not being an elite guy, or he's on a one-trick pony, can only go deep. He's heard all those things for the last 2 years. He seems to have his mind in the right place. He's a more mature player, so he knows that there's a lot more responsibility on him as being one of the leaders on the team. And when you're down, your starting quarterback like a Michael Vick, you're in Jeremy Maclin, who you lost in the preseason, your other guys have to step up. And DeSean, to his credit, has taken it upon himself to make sure that the quarterbacks and Chip Kelly can rely on him every week. And it's a pleasant surprise to watch him this season. Diminutive size and all, he's a threat anytime the ball is in the air, and I'm enjoying watching him.
So another touchdown for DeSean Jackson. We're going to send it back to Lambeau Field to hear from the playmaker himself, DeSean Jackson, following the Eagles' win.
At a time, you know, that's all we could really worry about right now.
7 touchdowns for you this year, it's more than the last 2 combined. I mean, you got to feel good that, you know, you're really in the swing of things, you know, looking for you.
Yeah, well, you know, just doing everything I could do with my opportunities I'm given. You know, Chip came in and started a great offense to be able to make plays, you know, that's all across the board. You know, myself, Maclin, I mean, not Maclin, McCoy, you know, Coop, as you can see, everybody's getting involved. And, you know, we're just excited about the opportunities we're being able to get, just going out there and having fun playing together.
5-1 on the road. Why so well on the road? Maybe why not so well at home?
Well, you know, we just talked about that. We got to get it going and get in the swing, back in the swing of things at home. You know, we deserve it. Our fans deserve it, things like that. So, you know, hopefully we could collect some together, figure out, you know, what it is and just win in front of our home fans. But, you know, got to be support by everybody, you know, who can be. You know, coming into the game first quarter, getting booze and all that type of stuff already. You just got to work with us throughout the game. So I think as long as, you know, everybody's doing, you know, their job and doing what they need to do, I think, you know, we'll be all right.
What have you seen out of Riley?
Which one?
Yours.
Oh, you know, it was just a great throw. Nick put it out there, seeing the coverage. You know, I just had to focus on that. Got tipped by the defender. You know, I feel I do a great job of focusing on the ball anytime you know, a defender tips it. So you just got to stay with the play. I'm just able to get a great fall right into my hands. And, you know, from there, just get into the end zone.
What's been different about Riley?
Great stuff there from DeSean Jackson. We're going to go back for our last phone call of the evening. We're going to go down to Kentucky, SEC country. We have our man Wright, who hopefully is going to bring us the right stuff here on the postgame show presented by Rico. Wright, how's everything going?
Doing pretty good. Old Reese's got me ready, fired up for next week already. Yeah, he's got me fired up for next week.
I'm with you.
Our defense stepped up when we lost Bo Wolf and Michael Kendricks. You know, I'm glad everybody's stepping up playing. I love it.
No question about it. Certainly, especially when you got like Najee Good, a guy who had a touchdown a couple weeks ago. Really, no one knew who he was until he was acquired by the Eagles. You have a guy like Rock Carmichael coming at cornerback, having to take, you know, the majority of the snaps with Bradley Fletcher out with a pectoral injury. Just guys stepping up, knowing that if they do their part in the defense, that they'll be able to make plays happen. And Ike, what is that like when you're, you know, the guy behind the scenes, the backup guy, and, you know, you don't know if your number's going to get called, but like they say, you always got to be ready. Next man up philosophy. These guys really showed it today.
Yeah, and it's not easy to do. I mean, having to fill that role throughout my 9-year career, I mean, you have to be prepared all week. You're not getting many reps out there on the practice field. Most of them are mental reps. And to be told that you're going to start prior to the game, I mean, it can be difficult. But I got to, you know, give the young guys a lot of credit. Or when a guy goes down early in the game and you haven't had many reps, it can be difficult. But the young guys came in there, Carmichael and Good. Good could have had an interception. Should have had a pick six there. So that would have been nice. But, you know, Billy Davis and his position coaches did a great job of having these young players mentally prepared just in case. And that's the job of a backup. You know, it's, you're not going to get many reps throughout the week. And you never know when your number is going to be called. When they tell you you're one play away from having to go into the game, they literally mean that. And it could be the first play of the game or a play in the fourth quarter. You have to be prepared. And our young guys were on top of their game today, and they did a nice job going in there and actually made some plays out there because they didn't look like a liability for the defense. So kudos to Billy Davis and his assistant coaches for getting those backup players ready to go. And the players need some credit for basically taking in the game plan and being prepared when their number was called.
All right, Ike, a couple topics before we wrap things up here on the postgame show presented by Rico. What statement did the Eagles make today by going out to Green Bay? And yes, they didn't have Aaron Rodgers, but they didn't take it easy on them, and they come out with a 27-13 victory.
Well, to me, the statement was made that they're a focused team, that they don't take any opponent lightly, that they're going to be a well-prepared team. The coach had them ready to go. I mean, listen, when you know the best quarterback in football is not going to line up behind center, it's very easy to get a false sense of security. These players didn't have that. They came in mentally sharp, ready to go, knew they had to get a win on the road to come back home next week, 5-5, with an opportunity to be tied for first place, depending on what the Cowboys do tonight against the Saints. I mean, it really goes back to the head coach. I mean, that's where it starts at, your preparation at the beginning of the week, having you mentally sharp and ready to go once the game starts. All the work has been done. It's just time to let it unfold. They did the work last week, and it showed today on the field.
Now, Ike, what's going on at home? 10 straight losses at Lincoln Financial Field. I mean, what has to happen? Does a seance have to happen? What has to happen for the Eagles, especially against the Redskins team? It's NFC East. Redskins are struggling. They don't have the magic like they did at the second half of last year. RG3A is starting to round to form a little bit. But what has to happen for the Eagles to snap this streak and finally get the win at home?
Since we've all been racking our brains about this, Chris, for over a year now, why they can't win at home, this is the only solution I could come up with. Now, hang with me here.
Okay.
Let's wear all white next week, just like we had the last 2 weeks. Hold on, I got one more for you.
Okay.
And for all of you that are watching us on the internet or listening to us on the internet, I need at least 80% of the stadium to have on Redskins gear. And it'll be like a road game, right?
That's true.
And the boys will come out ready to play in all white, and we'll win this thing at home, man. I'm trying everything. Reverse psychology. I'm trying everything.
Because they still stay in the hotel for home games, so you don't have that. You still have the bus ride to stay. So there's still a lot of that stuff that you carry over from the road games to home games as well. But who knows? Maybe it's just the time is right. Nick Foles is playing well. The defense has come together. You just hope that everything synergizes next Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field for that 1 p.m. showdown, a pivotal NFC East matchup between the Eagles and the Redskins. But we're going to have all week to talk about that. Ike is going to head over. You'll hear him all week long on 94 WIP, the Mike and Ike Show. Must listen to every single part of the day. And we're back for Eagles Live at noon tomorrow with Dave Spadaro. We're going to have Chip Kelly's press conference and delve more into the Eagles' 27-13 win over the Green Bay Packers. So for Ike Reese and Am Kaplan, I'm Chris McPherson. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Enjoy this great Eagles night.